Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Daily Friend Show, the Daily Friend Rap Edition. I'm Herman Pretorius and I'm standing in for our estimable colleague Nicholas Lorimer, who is today celebrating another full orbit of the sun in his, you know, very heliocentric way of the world. We wish Nick a very happy birthday, and he has wisely taken leave, so you are stuck with me. Joining me to unpack the top stories of the day is Maurice Root. So let us get into it immediately. Maurice, the first story we're going to look at is Trump and Ramaphosa set for diplomatic face-off in Washington. Now, we read about this in the Business Day. It reads, according to highly placed sources in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, the two are expected to discuss a wide range of diplomatic and trade relations, including the recent arrival of 49 white Afrikaners who claim to be fleeing racial persecution. Now, this has been a story that is sort of simmered over the last few months, with this, ever since President Trump came out with that executive order on this. And now the latest development is, of course, these 49 quote-unquote refugees fleeing South Africa. Now, President Ramaphosa has, I think, not necessarily covered himself in glory, but that will perhaps make that it easier to meet with Donald Trump, because I didn't think neither has he. They seem to both get the issue sort of wrong as to what is really the issue with racial discrimination in South Africa. Whether there is a genocide or not, I don't think really is the question most South Africans face. And if you were to take the South African experience, what's important to ordinary people in their daily lives, and you were to contrast it with these breathless headlines about these refugees, what do you think will be a good outcome for South Africa from that meeting between Trump and Ramaphosa, and what would be a bad outcome?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunity and risk here. We know that President Trump is, I think he's quite thin-skinned, and if President Ramaphosa says the wrong thing or annoys Donald Trump in some way, I think it could be pretty bad for South Africa. We can say as much as we want that South Africa is self-sufficient, all this kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, we need the USA much more than the other way around. But I do think this rhetoric from Donald Trump, I don't think it's useful. I don't think, I mean, there's lots of problems in South Africa, and we can talk about attacks on white farmers, but I think to characterize it as a genocide is not helpful at all. I don't think it is a genocide. And I think having Donald Trump push this kind of narrative is very unhelpful. But I think a good outcome, I think, would be obviously for the two to find each other, to use a term that people seem to like. I think I think it would be useful if Donald Trump realizes it's not a genocide in South Africa, but at the same time, President Ramaphosa realizes that a lot of these laws are, whether they are or not, are seen as being racially discriminatory against white people. And I think it would be good for President Ramaphosa to also realize that we live in the real world. We can't go become friends with people like Iran and Russia and so on and expect there's not going to be any kind of backlash from the Americans. You know, we can say that we should be able to make our own foreign policy, which I think is true. But we are being very reckless, and we are allying with people, as I said, the Russians and the Iranians and so on, who for our economic relations are actually very small players. America is much more important to South Africa in economic terms. And, you know, I mean, we can say, I think there's also a lot going wrong in the United States at the moment, but they're still a democracy. And I would much rather that South Africa be on their side or be, you know, more allied to the United States than to places like Iran and Russia. So, I think any kind of a good outcome would be to see some understanding between Trump and Ramaphosa. Where, I mean, Donald Trump is what he is saying. A lot of it isn't correct, but I think there's a kernel of truth in what he's saying. And I think a bad outcome would be for Donald Trump to completely write off South Africa and just, you know, decide that's it. He's going to sanction the country, going to kick us out of things like SWIFT. You know, not give South African passport holders visas to the United States and so on. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here, but there's also a lot of risk. And we're also told that Ramaphosa is this great negotiator and so on. And I think since the early 1990s, I haven't really seen too much evidence of that. But, you know, maybe he'll maybe be able to get some of that back, but we'll see. But, yeah, overall, I think there's lots of opportunity here, but I think South Africa needs to be very careful at the same time.
And I think what's really so frustrating to me about this is that it seems that anything Donald Trump touches becomes an irrational, polarizing debate. You can't have Donald Trump's side on one issue like farmer tax and expect a rational or reasonable debate on that topic. It immediately becomes polarizing. And that's what's been so frustrating to me is we've exposed and we've investigated the racial discriminatory laws still on the statute book. But that has now become sort of co-opted in this narrative of a white genocide, which simply doesn't get, you know, any backing from the fact. So that a good outcome for me would be that perhaps we get some nuance. I know I'm sort of hoping against the odds, but to see some nuance return to some of these pressing issues like farm attacks, not just write it off as a right-wing trope, a race-based legislation, not just seem written off as a nonsense. And I think the other thing from South Africa's side that would be really beneficial is there are very good examples of bad foreign policy. And ironically, one of those comes from Ludwig Erhard, who was Chancellor of West Germany, a guy I adore as a historical political figure. He was bad at foreign policy because he was just unqualified pro-America. The Eisenhower administration could just accept that whatever they did, Erhard would be on board. So he could never extract compromises or concessions from them. If we're going to look at good foreign policy, I think we can look at India, where they play the game between the West and the East, between China and the US, so that they sort of get flirtations, get concessions, get offers from both sides. And I think that would be a good outcome for Ramaphosa, is to park there where we are open to both sides and therefore able to get positive concessions for the people. Moving on to our next story, speaking about sort of the people, we've been through this whole budget debate, but over the last week, we've started hearing some rumors of a new sort of breakthrough in the budget episode and the budget drama, you know, perhaps three times a charm. And we read this here in the Business Live, DA leader and agriculture, the Government of National Unity, according to DA leader John Steenhuisen, had a meeting last week where a budget presentation was done, but it's still a work in progress. Ahead of Gordon Gwana's budget presentation on the 21st of May, he will be torn between the urgent priorities of raising extra revenue, cutting spending, and increasing investment. Now, it seems we're getting to the stabilization part of this process. I don't think South Africans want another roller coaster of a budget. Where do you think would be a good place to go for South Africans with these mutterings of a budget rapprochement seeming to be on the cards between especially the DA and the ANC?
I think if we get a compromise budgeter, will be quite a good sign for the GNU, I think. If the ANC actually does decide to share power, because we've seen the ANC has been acting the whole time in the GNU as if it's still a 60% party. It still thinks it's the GNU from the early 1990s when it was in a coalition with the IFP and the NP, but it had 60% of the seats in parliament. So it was actually, they didn't really need to listen to the other parties. Things are very different today, and I think the ANC learned that a couple of months ago, or a couple of weeks ago, whenever the first budget was. They just tried to ram through this budget, and as I understand it, there had been an agreement on, there was going to be a compromise. The ANC was happy to put forward some of the DA's kind of what they say will help the economy grow in the budget and so on, with having a small VAT increase, either 0.5 points or 1 point, I can't remember at the moment. But then there was obviously fighting within the ANC, the various factions. They decided to go behind the DA's back and look for support outside the GNU, which I think was incredibly bad faith by the ANC. And it just shows you that this party still hasn't accepted that it's actually in a coalition. So, but I think this is actually a very good sign if the DA and the ANC and the other parties in the GNU manage to come to a compromise budget, and one where there's no tax increases, and one where we actually do see some growth in the economy. Because I mean, I think lots of people in the ANC also know you can't, we simply can't borrow more. We can't tax South Africans anymore. I mean, that's, I mean, it's very telling that the tax that was going to increase was VAT, because that's the tax that's the easiest to collect. Every single person who buys anything in South Africa pays for it. It affects the poorest the most. And it just shows that the ANC has completely run out of ideas. It doesn't want to cut anything in the budget, but it knows it can't borrow more or raise taxes anymore. The only way is economic growth. And we, one of these days, reality is going to meet ideology. And it seems that reality might be on the front foot here, but it's still a way to go. And ideology could still win out. And we know what happens when ideology beats reality. Then you land up in Venezuela or Zimbabwe.
And I think the problem with the ANC, just politically, is they need a win on the budget. They need to be able to show something to voters, because, you know, the political wonks paying attention to the policy ins and outs might think, you know, what's this GNU thing? But looking at the polling over the last year, the GNU idea seems quite popular. I think your ordinary South African wants to see adult politics of people working together and sort of having a bit of a kumbaya spirit. Now, the ANC has done a bit of a number on their credibility within the GNU, and they need, I think, for their own sake, to be able to show that they can actually honor the spirit of the GNU. They can actually show that there is something of the Mandela ANC left that can come together, bring together diverse parties. So they haven't had a good run of politics on the budget. So I think that's an incentive for them to just get to a point of parking this thing, moving on from the pain, putting that VAT hike debate in the back, in the rearview mirror, because otherwise they're going to sort of stumble on with this a bad faith reputation that goes against what people want to see in the GNU. We are already out of time. It seems that there are some slow news days and then there are fast news days. We wanted to get to a third story, but we will be dishonoring a great colleague if we stray too much beyond his template. So in the words of Nick Lorimer, Marius, thank you very, very much. We hope to see you in a next episode of The Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.